This is the Nightcap with Tim Murray and Super Bowl champion Sean King on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Indeed helps you find great hires fast. Indeed is your all-in-one platform for interviewing, screening, and hiring high-quality people. Visit Indeed.com/credit. It is the Nightcap here on VSiN, hour number three. That is Sean King, proud papa tonight.
I don't go that far. Proud coach. Proud coach.
D'Ernest Johnson, his former player at USF, 146 yards tonight. Browns get the win 17-14. Over the Broncos, under hits, and the Browns cover that closing number. By the way, UNLV leading 10-3. Live line right now. It's a pick here at Circa, minus 125 to UNLV, plus 105 to the visiting
now,
San Jose Spartans.
Is the football team the running Rebels or just the Rebels?
Just the Rebels.
Okay. Basketball is the running Rebels.
Correct.
I got you.
Yes. Let's bring in Chris Andrews at Andrews Sports on Twitter. Sportsbook director at the South Point. Always love when he's able to join us in this time slot after Thursday Night Football. Look ahead to the weekend. But before we get into that, tonight, closing number at one, but middling opportunities before Baker Mayfield goes out. So was the three-point result a bad scenario for the book tonight?
No, it was not. We moved. Listen, we opened four. They took the four. They took the three and a half. They took the three. I was the first one to go to three, so I had a lot of guys laying me the three. And I told my guys, I said, don't move it. I think this game's coming down. Next thing you know, Mayfield is announced to be out officially. And so we closed the game quickly, reopened it at two. And then at two, we wrote pretty good business both ways, but actually more on Denver, plus the two. So three, I mean, it wasn't the ideal number, but it didn't really hurt us that bad at all.
At Andrews Sports is where you can find Chris on Twitter, sportsbook director over at the South Point. We'll jump back to the NFL here in just a little bit, but some unique spreads, to say the least, this weekend, Chris. And one being number 8 Oklahoma State getting 7 against Iowa State. Now, Chris the Bear Felica had a great tweet earlier today. The last time we had something like this, it was 1998. USC was an 8.5-point favorite against then top 10 Notre Dame. That's the last time we've seen a top 10 team getting a touchdown or more, and USC won that game 10-0. So I don't know if history repeats itself, but what has the action been like on Iowa State and Oklahoma State? Because I know a lot of people are saying, huh? How? Why? Why is a top 10 team getting a touchdown?
Well, Tim, the first thing I want to tell you, the bookmakers don't make the ratings. We make the number. So the ratings is something that's out of our jurisdiction. We have opened this game 7. You know, when I made my own numbers, I made the game 6.5, which, you know, I'm not going to dicker over half a point. I thought 7 was just fine. We've opened at 7, and we've never moved it. So I think 7 is a pretty decent number. I think probably the public thinks it's out of whack, but personally, I don't. I think, actually, I think if anything, Iowa State has been just a tad disappointing this year. When I did my games of the year, this was one of them. I opened Iowa State 10 in the games of the year. Now, they did take Oklahoma State. I had one bet on Oklahoma State, so we did move it down from there. But I thought 7 was a decent opening number, and we haven't moved it, so it evidently wasn't that bad.
So, Chris, tell me, coming into the season, as you mentioned, Iowa State, I mean, they had guys on first-team All-American lists. I mean, they were picked by a lot of people, either them or Oklahoma, to be the Big 12 champion. Now, they kind of fell flat on their face. And it's almost like the market has anointed them back to their preseason platform. But when you look at who they've beaten, nobody really of importance. Just explain to me a little bit how that works.
Well, Listen, I think you make a valid point. I mean, they haven't quite been re-anointed to their to the previous rating before the season, the preseason rating, I should say. Like I said, we had them 10 in this very same game. And they lost to Iowa. I think that set them back a little bit. Not just did they lose, you know, Sean, you know yourself. Sometimes a team can beat you twice when you lose a big game. I think that kind of put them on tilt a little bit. But I do think they're coming back. And I'd also say Oak State really hasn't played anybody to vault them. They may be number 8 in like the AP rankings or you know whoever's making the rankings, but they're not number 8 certainly among bookmakers. They're much further on down the list. So I think, you know, what you say, there's an element of truth to that. But like I said, I think Iowa State has still been a bit disappointing, and just Oklahoma State hasn't really proven anything to the numbers makers.
Talking once again to Chris Andrews, a game that I've played personally. I like UCLA in this spot at home. I know in some spots in town, I think at Circa, they opened as a 1-point dog that quickly went to 1. What has the action been like on Oregon and UCLA? Another one of those situations, Chris, where you've got the unranked team laying points. Now, not as much as Iowa State, but UCLA is the favorite against number 10 Oregon.
Well, I'll tell you, this thing has been flipped all over the place. I've seen Oregon a 1-point favorite. I saw UCLA maybe even as high as 2.5 today. And I told my guys, listen, this, when we get that, we'll move it. And I think we open UCLA 1. Let me check here. No, we open them 1.5. Mm-hmm. They bet me up to 2. Then they took back the 2. So I'm back to 1.5. But this is one of those games. I almost wish it was like a 7:30 game, because I think we would really do a ton of action. But 12:30 slot's pretty good, too. We have a ton of tickets on both sides, a lot of money on both sides. Like I said, we only moved between 2 numbers, but there's been a lot of movement between those 2 numbers. So right now it looks like a terrific betting game, and I think the numbers should have been right around pick 'em myself. So if I was out there betting, I don't think I would bet either one of these two teams. Maybe if you can get some plus money, like right now you can get plus 110 on Oregon, yeah, that might be worth a little bit of a shot, but I wouldn't go crazy. And I think it's going to be a hell of a game. And whichever way this number pushes, if I was out there playing, I wouldn't be afraid to bet against the move, whatever that might be.
Now, Chris, I've seen a lot of things in my life, and this is still a first for me. The team I picked to win this particular conference gets disrespected on their bye week. You guys had Sparty. Only 4.5-point favorites last week at Indiana. The game was never in doubt. The cover was never in doubt. They won by a massive 5. And Ohio State comes into town, and they're laying 3 touchdowns. Just tell me, where do you have Sparty actually ranked in your rankings?
Oh, man, I'd have to go take a look here. But, you know, I make a joke every year, and it's really – I make a joke out of it, but it's really been kind of true for probably about the last 15 years. It's an annual rite of summer for me to underrate Michigan State. I mean, I do it like every year. I follow the recruiting and all that. That has a lot of bearing on where I put my numbers to open a year. And they don't recruit that well. But, they coach their guys up pretty good. I have them at an 84. I'm trying to see who else would be, like, right around there. So that's not real high. I mean, I have them better than Clemson, which right now isn't saying all that much. I have them better than Baylor. I have them about the same, you know, close to Auburn and Arkansas, teams that are playing pretty well. Arizona State. You know, so right in that range right there. So a pretty good team I have. I'm not great, but pretty good. And like I said, well, you know, they beat Indiana. I kind of liked Indiana in that game. So, yeah, I know they covered by, you know, a point. Michigan State's MO really for about the last 20 years. They grind, they win ugly. And I'm trying to think of what year it was. I can't remember. It's got to be about 10 years ago. I really think at the end of the year, And they won the Rose Bowl that year. I think at the end of the year, they were the second best team in college football. And I think Alabama was the champion that year. But I think Michigan State was the second best team. And you know what? If they had lined up, it's the kind of game where Michigan State could squeeze out a really ugly win had they played whoever was number one. I'm pretty sure it was Alabama.
We're talking once again to Chris Andrews. You know, Chris, it was one of those situations last weekend where I would have rather I didn't mind losing my money. I just knew that Sean was going to come in boasting after, hey, you know, getting outgained by 80.
Good teams win.
Needing
great
a 49-yard field goal. Needing to stop a two-point conversion.
Never in doubt.
Sure, whatever you say. You said last week that game, Indiana and Michigan State, was about 9-1 at this point in time. I was talking to another spot in town. It was 15-1 on, I think, Saturday morning. Is there a game right now in college football, we got less than a minute, that is jumping out that looks like it's going to be a pretty big discrepancy when it comes to the ticket?
Well, there's a whole bunch of them, yeah.
Oh, give them to us.
Cincinnati and Navy. I mean, that one's about 8-1, I'd say. Cincy. You know, anytime you got Alabama playing, there's always a big discrepancy there. I'll give you one that's kind of surprising to me. BYU. That's about an 8-1 margin. BYU over Wash State. Of course, Wash State lost their head coach and I think three or four of their assistants. So
yeah,
a lot of people reading into that. But, you know, I mean, sometimes kids just play hard for that, either for the new guy or to, you know, show some respect to the old guy.
Yeah.
And that, so, you know, I wouldn't count my money yet. And actually, I had some guys come in today and bet on Wash State. Some pretty big play. So my money isn't out of whack, but the ticket numbers are way out of whack.
That's Chris Andrews at Andrews Sports on Twitter. This is the Nightcap.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're looking for more sports betting discussion around your local teams, well, Bet Rivers has you covered. Bet Rivers has launched a series of CityCasts designed to tackle sports betting from the local perspective. There are CityCasts in Chicago, Detroit, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, LA, and now Denver. Subscribe to your local CityCast wherever you get your podcasts. Here we go, Rebels, hometown team. UNLV getting a fumble, Sean.
Yeah.
Now the ball inside the 10-yard line. Rebels looking to go up by two touchdowns. Pounding it down to the 1-yard line.
Happy, man. Hopefully Marcus Arroyo and the crew, they can get their first win of the season. I mean, you can see the improvement.
Yeah.
I mean, their competitive nature, their competitive spirit hasn't waned, even though they're 0-6. They've been in some games that you didn't think they had a chance.
Fresno
now,
State,
they've
Utah
really
State.
Struggled on how to actually
close those
take that
out.
Competitive energy and turn it into actual victory. So, I mean, going up 17-3 here would be, to me, a great way to try and get into halftime.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Huge turnover and a touchdown.
Yes.
UNLV.
There we go. Let's go.
UNLV.
Let's go, Rebels.
You know, another situation. Now, I wasn't going to go crazy because UNLV, they are still are 0-6. But I was staring at this game all day, and the number just kept drifting up, Sean. So I got spooked. I got scared off of it. And look, here at South Point or at Circa, it went down to 5.5 right before kick. It went up to 6. So
did Starkle start the game and get re-injured? Because he's on the sideline without shoulder pads on. So he's obviously... I just assumed when I saw the number jump like that Starkle was going to play. Starkle being San Jose's starting quarterback who's been out injured. But hey, man, I like the slot machine on the sideline.
Yeah,
it's the first time I've really gotten a chance to watch a home game.
Yeah, Nick Nash has been the starter, and he's the one who fumbled it away on a scramble. So no Starkle tonight for San Jose State, and they are now down 2 touchdowns. Come on, Rebs. Let's go, Rebels. Get this one done. 17-3 is the score. UNLV looking for their first win of the year. They have covered the last two games, so we'll see if they can keep it rolling here. You know, just going off back off of Chris's conversation there, I'm very curious about this BYU-Washington State situation. You know, he said that there was some sharp buyback at 4.5 tonight, today on Washington State, looking at an 8-1 ticket discrepancy in favor of BYU. And the thing about it is, Sean, you know, Washington State was actually playing pretty good football prior to Nick Rolovich's dismissal. Yeah, they won 3 in a row. They're at home.
And beat 3 good teams, Cal, Oregon State, and Stanford.
Yeah, Cal's debatable.
Well, the Cal that took Oregon to...
Well, we'll find out what Oregon is. I don't know.
Remember but what yeah, I said, Cal's the best one-win team in the country.
So you've got BYU, on the other hand, right? They've lost 2 in a row now. They get beat up pretty good by Baylor. They lose 2 weeks ago to Boise. They were undefeated. They did get into the top 10. So, you know, I laid the 3 with BYU earlier this week. We were talking about this game. You know, the reason I did so, and look, if Washington State comes out and wins this game or covers, will I be surprised? No, because, you know, people are resilient. People rise to the occasion. But the difference between this situation and Cliff Kingsbury and the offensive and the quarterback's coach for the Arizona Cardinals getting COVID, or this situation and John Gruden getting fired. John Gruden got fired, and the entire staff was still there. Cliff Kingsbury and the quarterback's coach got COVID late in the week. The install was already there, and you still can communicate. You know, Rolovich and 4 assistants, including the offensive line coach, I believe the offensive coordinator, and Rolovich, as you mentioned, he's the play caller, all got fired on, I think it was Sunday. I mean, and
the only time we've seen this is the Saints. And the Saints didn't respond well.
Right, and Washington State, you know, this isn't Alabama, folks. Now, Washington State, don't cry for them. They still have analysts, but they don't have 30 analysts like Alabama.
None of their analysts are going to be former head coaches.
Right, yeah, this isn't...
That's the big difference.
This isn't, you know, former D coordinators that are, right. You know, so... And then you have to think about the players. Are they... They're clearly, you know, from everything that has been reported, you know, they really like Nick Rolovich. I think Rolovich was a player's coach. I think the players really liked him. So are they disappointed? If they get punched in the mouth, how do they respond? This game, it's at 12:30 Pacific, 3:30 Eastern. I think it's a game you should tune into because I just have no idea what to expect. The reason I laid the 3 with BYU is because I just... In college football, to have no install and be missing 5 full-time coaches, Sean?
I agree.
That's really hard.
I just wish it was somebody else going besides BYU.
Yeah. They're not playing well right now.
Yeah, they aren't. On offense, they're not scoring. And you know that's what worries me because if you can't put up points, then the game never really gets to a point where the other team panics. I don't know. I'm probably going to leave the game alone.
At this point, I would.
Yeah.
I think that was Tuesday. Night, I got to South Point, got the 3. At this point, and it was pretty much 3.5 everywhere else, and that's where I think 3 was the final spot that I would take the points or lay the points, I should say. And even at that point, I didn't feel great. I wanted under 3. I didn't get it. The other ticket discrepancy is
he said Cincy and Bama.
Cincy's
laying 28.
Yeah, I want to get to that game in a moment. Okay. But let's start Alabama real quick. They're at home. They're taking on Tennessee. That's a rivalry game. And Alabama just won by 40 over Mississippi State. They exercised the demons. I don't know who's playing quarterback yet. If it's Joe Milton for Tennessee, I'm betting Alabama. I feel like that defense would wreak havoc for Joe Milton. Hendon Hooker, I'd probably leave this game alone. But he was banged up, man. He at the end of that game, he was
25 for Bama.
Really hurt. No, it's not.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing for them to be up 28-3 middle of the second quarter.
And you just do wonder, you know.
And it's in Tuscaloosa.
Last week they win 49-9, and Nick Saban, from what we know, they've now got that loss. They know there's no margin for error, and they They truly do love torturing Tennessee.
Hmm.
Dude, this is the cigar game. You know, they always smoke the cigars after that one. The third Saturday in October, this game is always played. I mean, this has been, Sean, if you just look at it, I mean, this has been completely one-sided. Alabama hasn't lost this game since 2006. They've won by 31, 22, 37, 38, 39, 5, 20, 14. So, I mean, this has been a beatdown pretty much week in and week out. And what's Tennessee's mindset, right? You know, we talk about letdowns maybe for Ole Miss.
I'm thinking about mustard.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm not piling on the young man. He made a mistake, but, you know, Tennessee had an opportunity to throw a ball into the end zone, and Joe Milton scrambled and ran out of bounds. I mean, there's got to be frustration on that football team to back now and play Alabama.
I'm sure.
And then Cincinnati. So the three biggest ticket discrepancies per Chris Andrews at the South Point.
Cincinnati should score every time they have the ball. Navy.
This
the 2021 version of the midshipman has the worst college defense that I've seen in a long time.
It's bad.
I mean, they are awful.
Yeah. I mean, they've played a little bit better these past couple of weeks. Navy has, but their quarterback's banged up. And Cincinnati in 2018 was the last time they played Navy. They shut them out. And held them to, I want to say, under 200 yards of offense. Luke Fickell knows how to defend this now. They got gashed in 2017 by Navy. I think Navy ran for like almost 600 yards.
Wow.
And then the next year they shut him out. So I think Cincinnati's got Navy's number. I think this is a terrible matchup for Navy. What I would play here, to your point, if you can find a book that has team totals, play Navy under team total. I think it's like 12.
Yeah.
I would definitely go under. Let me see, 49.
I mean, I feel Cincinnati's the Alabama of the AAC this year. Like the discrepancy in talent between Cincy and Navy is so significant.
If you look at that total, the team total should be about 10.5. I would take under. Navy maybe mistakenly gets a touchdown late, but I think Cincinnati and I think Cincinnati, Sean, to.
I like that. Maybe it's thick and we get a touchdown.
You look at since the Notre Dame game when they got on the national radar. They've already been on the national radar, but they get that win, right? 52-3 against Temple, 56-21 against UCF. They're on a mission, man. They are on an absolute mission. That's Sean King. I'm Tim Murray. It is the nightcap. We'll take a look at some of the injuries percolating up in the NFL next, right here on VSiN.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting National Championship is coming up November 5th through the 7th, and VSiN will provide coverage from the main event all weekend long, including live on-location updates for all of the action. Visit VSiN.com/SBNC for more information and learn how you can enter for a chance to test your skills and win cash, including the $1 million top prize. That's VSiN.com/SBNC. Come on, Rebels, let's go. I didn't even bet them. I'm just excited for them. Because it's got to, I mean, I've said this before. I don't know if I said it on air, but like the amount of work that Marcus Arroyo and his staff put in. They put in the same amount of work as every other staff in the country, right? And they just get their butts whipped every week. So for them to have a chance to win and, you know, look, San Jose State is down this year, right? But they still are the defending conference champs. So if you can get this win, man, that would be huge for them.
When you can't complete a forward pass, it's hard to win.
Yeah, so... Good for UNLV.
Yeah, right, absolutely. I'm pulling for the Rams.
17-3 right now, minute 12 to go, and a field goal attempt is coming for San Jose State. And UNLV, an opportunity to keep their lead at 14 right now. Cameron Friel got the start at quarterback and has looked well. Looked good. 8 of 11. The kick is up and it is good. And it is
a decent crowd in the end zone.
11-point game. I think I saw our guy Brad Powers is there. He's tweeting at it.
Okay.
I think our guy Matt Eumanns is there. So you know, got the power people. Powerhouse.
Matt, big time. Matt. Matt's everywhere. Man. Oh. That's my guy.
I texted him. I
want to be Matt Eumanns when I grow up.
Ooh, I don't know if you also can't sleep.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, ever.
I don't really sleep either.
I mean, nor do I, but I at least have to get...
But I don't have as much fun not sleeping as I feel like Matt has.
Yeah.
He doesn't sleep, but it looks like he's having fun the whole time he's awake.
Oh, Matt. Yeah, Matt lives it up. And I'm sure he's got UNLV tonight. I would bet he's got the hometown team. That's my guess. He took the points. He loves taking...
Probably, yeah.
Home dog, he's going to take the points. Yeah. He's going to take the
that
points.
Makes sense.
Couple things, just a little house cleaning. Scott Seidenberg going to come in.
Scott!
To close out the show, I believe. I will ask him about it. He'll let us know, I'm sure. I believe he was on the Ponies, SMU, on VSiN.com.
Yeah, he tweeted that out. He said it was a late ad. Yep.
There you go. So he had the Ponies. They get the cover against your Tulane Green Wave.
I wanted to say something like snipey to him, but I mean, I agreed. So. I couldn't say anything.
D'Ernest Johnson goes nuts. Sean King's former running back, a 146 and a touchdown as the Browns beat the Broncos 17-14. This game closed 1-2, depending on where you looked, in favor of the Browns. So they do get the cover. The under comes home. If you took the Broncos like I did in teasers, they're still alive, fortunately, because we got a touchdown about midway through that fourth quarter. And Case Keenum, solid. 221-33, 199, one touchdown, no picks, and the Browns get a very important win earlier tonight. The Braves go berserk after giving up a two-run shot in the first inning to Freddie Freeman. The bullpen puts the clamps down after Joe Kelly departs. No more runs, 8 1/3 scoreless for the Dodgers. Kenley Jansen closes it out, and Chris Taylor, have yourself a day. 4 for 5, 3 home runs. Yeah,
he was raking.
6 RBI. I think he had 13. Yeah, 13 total bases. I know you were playing those over total base props. That would have been one to take.
I was betting with the Braves, so I don't think I was taking any Dodgers.
So, looking at where we stand in that series right now, it's 3-2, still in favor of the Braves. This thing is going back to Atlanta. And... the series price at the right now here at Circa, Dodgers +175, mm-hmm. Braves -$2. That is the updated series price here at Circa. So if you like the Dodgers, it looks like that's the best price you could find. A lot of +170s.
The Braves are +200. Is that what you said?
Dodgers are +175.
Oh, Dodgers are +175.
Sorry. Okay. Braves are -200.
No, I could have been wrong. I could have misheard you.
And then Saturday afternoon in Atlanta, it's going to be Max Scherzer against Ian Anderson. Scherzer and the Dodgers right now at Westgate, -170 favorites. The Braves +160. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Gosh, I was just thinking this.
Oh, no.
And I was like, if you're going to run the clock out, just take a knee.
No.
I was just thinking
UNLV
this.
UNLV just fumbled. With 16 seconds to go, fortunately.
No, they're on the 30.
The linebacker, Sean.
Fell down?
Fell down. Oh, he looked like he had a clear scoop and score here. He picks it up, and then he bobbles it and falls.
Oh, he falls on his own.
Yeah.
He just goes down.
Oh, look at 44. 44 of San Jose State.
What
are you doing? So San Jose State does have a couple timeouts. Oh, boy. Hopefully... The Rebs here can take care of business and keep them out of the end zone.
They're telling them, you're not watching our offense?
We'd have no chance.
This
we
might be our
score.
Best chance at a touchdown. I'm sitting here listening to you, and I think that's why I misheard the thing, and I'm watching it, and I'm like, if they're going to run the clock out, why don't they just take a knee? Like, because the
– Oh, my gosh.
And San Jose State scores.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
Wow. Dude lost his helmet.
It might be down on the one.
Oh, they said it was down at the one.
Yeah. San Jose State has timeouts, though. They have two.
Wow. I mean, this would be just brutal. If they don't... Oh, man.
I'm sitting here watching it, and what happened was on the first down run, Tim, he was trying to make guys miss. And so I looked down, and then, like, what are they doing? Like, are they going for it, or are they trying to run out the clock? Like, why are they not just kneeling?
This is going to be an interesting spot because he falls.
If he's not in, it's on the the ball's touching the paint almost.
Ball was in the right arm, and, oh. I mean, if they go into the locker room, Sean, after getting that stop, and it's only a four-point game.
But again, to me, even though the player fumbled, that's on Arroyo and his staff. You can't be in between in those situations. If you're running out the clock, then just take the knee. I know San Jose State has two timeouts. It wouldn't have mattered because on third down, you get the whole 40 seconds, 45, whatever it is in college, to run the whole clock down. Oh, my goodness.
Big spot here for UNLV. This is the beauty of the nightcap. We're watching
live.
UNLV. We're reacting to the UNLV San Jose State game live. All right, while this play is unfolding, we do have Friday Night Football. And Kenny White was a big believer in Washington, Arizona.
Tomorrow night.
Under 46. That was one of his favorite plays, touchdown San Jose State. Yeah. That's not good. Oh, they didn't rule it yet. That's a bad spot. He got in.
Yeah, that's a terrible spot.
I mean, Brett Brennan is running onto the field. He looked like he was in. So a quick timeout for San Jose State. Once again, I don't know.
The push got him in. Yeah, oh, he's in the end zone.
He's in. That's a terrible
spot. I don't know what the ref is looking at.
I don't know what that's terrible. So that's a touchdown for San Jose State. He's in. He broke the plane. So we will see. But, I mean, Washington is now laying 18, Sean, in this game. I have bet Washington a couple times this year. It has not worked out well for me. So I'm not going to be laying 18 points with the Huskies. But I think Arizona is just that bad offensively. So I understand why Kenny is all in favor of a little Friday night under in Washington and Arizona, 46.5. That is a low total, man. That is a very low total.
Washington's terrible on offense.
They are.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a game that I won't watch.
We'll have it on in studio.
I'll wake up the next day and, hey, either what?
You're working tomorrow at 7, so
right, I won't be watching.
The game will be on here. You're going to be sweating out the Red Sox. So once again, before we hit a break here, you're all over the Red Sox tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah, on the run line. And Nathan Eovaldi, we trust.
Just simple as that.
Simple as that. What else is there to be said?
I'm just wanted.
What's understood doesn't have to be said. Let's go, Boston.
Golden State just won 115-113. They get the win. I think they were a 3.5-point dog, our favorite in this one. So they get the win, 115-113, and
based on Twitter, I think Steph had a pretty good game.
So look at that final score, Sean. 115-113. Total here at Circa, 229. These guys are pretty good at what they do.
They changed it to a touchdown. Like I don't know how the ref that was on this side. Like how does he? When you see a spot that you really want to like, I mean, bro. Like, touchdown. Please explain. Like, break it down for me. Like, how did you come up with this spot based on what we just saw?
Touchdown, San Jose State. Steph Curry had 45 points and 8 threes.
Pretty good.
Warriors win. Scott Seidenberg coming up next. Oh, UNLV, man. It's the nightcap here on VSiN.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
First Bet wants to get you ready for the Breeders' Cup with a chance to win $1,000 in free bets. Go to VSiN.com/horses to enter for your chance to win. The grand prize winner will have $1,000 deposited into their account before Friday, November 5th, just in time For the Breeders' Cup, there are plenty of runner-up prizes as well. So sign up today, VSiN.com/horses. Terms and conditions apply. Go to VSiN.com/horses for more information. Wrapping things up on a Thursday, as we are one to do, we bring in the host of The Look Ahead. It is his final show of the week tonight, so we bring him in to get his thoughts on the upcoming weekend. And, of course, Sean King, a proud, proud coach, De'Ernest Johnson.
Right, my God, De'Ernest Johnson, balled out Thursday night. Time to go get that bag. By the way, whatever Scott is using to make his hair look perfect, Tim might need to, can you – afterwards, can you drop him a little?
What's wrong with my hair?
Well, I mean, yours is kind of like
red. Yeah, I keep can't change that.
Outside of the gingerness of it, you see how Scott's like perfect.
Listen, I always
the guy's from Jersey. Of course, he's got perfect hair.
Remember the line in the 40-year-old version where he's like, "You think this happened overnight? This is premeditated, baby."
Yeah,
so. I love throwing Tim off.
I'm good.
That's what I live for.
Yeah.
Hey, sorry about your green wave tonight, but I cashed my SMU minus 13.5 ticket. So.
What you talking about?
Oh, okay. All right.
Who's the green wave?
That would be your alma mater.
Did we play tonight?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, my God. Let me see if we won.
we were just talking about it. I hope, man. I don't have a play on it. I almost played UNLV pregame, and then I almost played San Jose State in game, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to stay off of it. I don't want to sweat this game out. UNLV was up 17-6, closing seconds of the half. They fumble. San Jose State, of course, scores. So now we're looking at UNLV and San Jose State. So it's 17-13 at the half. Come on, Rebs. Get that first win of the year. Scott, you've got write-ups on the website at VSiN.com. I do as well, and one game that's interesting that you're on, I'm actually on the other side, but we both can win, because earlier in the week, I took 3.5 with Army at home, and now it's pretty much 3 across the board. I didn't write it up for the website. I put it in VSiN.com, in the Point Spread Weekly when it was available on Tuesday, but you do like Wake here to win this game, but you're going money line.
Yes.
So we both could come home winners.
And I
hope
that's the case. Yeah. I did Wake money line at minus 160, which is like my threshold for money lines, pretty much. I don't really like to go higher than that. But this is a Wake offense that's averaging 38.7 points per game. Tim, they're converting on third downs 47% of the time. I mean, that's top 15 in the nation right now. And Army does have an incredible third down percentage as well because of a lot of their running plays. They're getting, you know, chunks on first and second down. Wake Forest rushes for 173 yards per game. The thing is, as good as Army is against the run, they did allow Wisconsin to rush for about 200 yards, 198 yards. And in the game against Western Kentucky, which is a formidable passing attack led by Billy Zappi, he torched them for 435 yards and 3 scores.
A lot of that came in the fourth quarter, though.
Sure, but Sam Hartman is better than Billy Zappi, in my opinion.
And well, give the man some respect.
I will. Look, I understand
Bailey
that.
Zappi. We are a pro Bailey Zappi show.
Sure,
here.
Sure.
Go Hilltoppers. Got us that cover against Indiana.
I love me some Sam Hartman, though.
Yeah, he's
and
good.
And the thing here with Wake Forest is that everyone's talking about how difficult it is to prepare for this Army attack. This is the third time under head coach Dave Clawson that they're going to play Army. So this isn't something new that he has to prepare for. Plus, they're coming off a bye. They had extra time to prepare for this Army offense. In the three previous times that they've played them, Wake has won two of them. They're 2-1. All three games were decided by a field goal. So they all have been close. I get that. This is a different Wake Forest team than those previous iterations. The last time they played was 2016. Wake Forest was not the Wake Forest that we see now in 2016. I think they improved to 7-0. Not going to risk anything with the points because I think it could be a field goal game. But Wake gets the win here. And let's be honest, guys. Mikey Stadium is not exactly a big home field advantage.
Especially not early.
Yeah.
Well, I played there.
All their games.
I played there at night the year we went undefeated at Tulane, and it kind of gets a little different as the sun goes down, you know. But early game there, I called a bunch of games for ESPN at Army. It's not the same atmosphere. I do agree. Any team that can lose to Ball State, I think Wake Forest shouldn't have a lot of trouble. You know, yeah. I really think Army's living on their last 2 years.
Sure.
And that perception because they were really good, but this team isn't as talented.
I agree. Once again, at three, I wouldn't have played it. I took the 3.5. And the reason
good
is
call,
Wake
Scott.
Wake can't stop. Well, don't give him kudos yet. Wake also can't stop the run, and that's kind of an issue. They gave up 342 yards to Syracuse, 208 last week to Louisville, averaging 4.42 yards per carry allowing. So that's my worry, and that's why I think this could be a ugly game, and I think it could come down to a field goal. Look, for the ACC, I wouldn't mind Wake staying undefeated, so I hope we both win. I hope it's a 21-18 final in at Mikey Stadium early Saturday. We're both winners, but you wrote that one up for the website. Wake Forest on the money line going on the road there to Air Force. So I took the 3.5, which is pretty much gone. Another game, you are getting Liberty in the bounce back spot.
Yeah.
They are in Sean King's doghouse.
Yep, yep. Cousins and the Cincinnati Reds. They're all in timeout.
He's not a big fan of them.
I get it. Let's look back at history, okay? And I had to do some deep diving, and kudos. There are several people online that have pointed out these trends, and you can find it if you're one of those SDQL type of people that search all these databases. Teams that lose as 30-point favorites, right, which Liberty did last week, how do they bounce back? Well, in their next games, if they're favored by 15 or more points, they're 5-0, 4-1 against the spread, outscoring their opponents in those games 182-13. I feel that this is a Liberty team that's 13-2 in their last 15 games against the spread, going up against a North Texas team that's 7-23 in their last 30 games against the spread. Hugh Freeze is a veteran coach. He knows what it's going to take to get his team to bounce back. North Texas allows 35 points per game. I think this is an ugly blowout win. Malik Willis is going to score 4 touchdowns on the ground. He's going to pass for another 2, and this is going to be a 63-6 game, something like that.
I believe you.
He's
but
not
sometimes when you hurt, you want the other person to hurt. And so I'm sitting here last Saturday, and on last Monday, I did a 3-team Saturday parlay.
Okay.
I took Michigan State -4 at the time. I took Bama. I knew they bounced back. And I took Liberty. I was like, listen, they're going to UL Monroe. UL Monroe is terrible. Also, that Wednesday, Kenny White came on the show. His play of the week was UL Monroe Liberty under 57.5.
Thinking UL Monroe wasn't going
to
score.
So I'm all Gucci all day. I come down to the Louisiana Monroe game, and I'm not even watching it. All of a sudden, the halftime score pops up. It says Liberty 14, UL Monroe 0. I'm like, okay, cool. You know, no problem. You know, the unders.
We may not get that cover, but we'll get the under.
Yeah.
Then they give up 31 unanswered, lose, but score late to make the game go over. Liberty, listen, I hope you guys lose again. How about that, Hugh Freeze?
Last time they lost to Syracuse in that shocking game. They came back. They took care of UAB on the road 36-12.
Nice, they were a dog in that game.
Yeah, they went for it twice inside the 5 on fourth down and converted neither in that Syracuse
game. In the Syracuse game, yes. I know. I had them in that game against Syracuse.
Pain! That's a big bet for me. Pain!
Yeah, this is a big spot for them, and I think that they'll come
with you, though. I'm with you.
You guys enjoy that. I will. I will not be on that game.
It's the highest favorite, I think, that I've played this season. I believe
21.
21 is going to be the highest favorite I played this. I played SMU as 13.5 tonight.
You're laying. So who's feel good about that? You're one. Eating the chalk this week, but hey, so far you're getting
SMU
your money
played
on
tonight. I didn't see that game.
Oh goodness!
Well, you're Captain AAC. Come on, you need SMU to keep playing well.
There was so much hope at the end of the rainbow when we left Norman, Oklahoma. And boy, it's nothing but darkness ahead.
On the highlight film at the end of the year, just showed that score, and then you had the ball going, trying to score a touchdown. Scott, before we let you go do your show, baseball, any thoughts, parting thoughts on what we could see tomorrow? Sean is all on
Red Sox run line. Nathan Eovaldi, we trust.
I've hammered the over in every single game of the series.
Been perfect.
Good
so
for you.
I'm just going to continue to bet the over until I lose.
Smart.
So I don't know why anybody can convince me otherwise.
Down to 8.5.
Can't so convince me otherwise.
That is Scott Seidenberg. You're going to see him for the next 3 hours coming up at the top of the hour. Thanks to Chris Andrews. Thanks to Matt Fortuna. Thanks to Wyatt stepping in for Aaron Oster, doing his darndest. Hopefully his UNLV Rebs can get this victory. For Sean King, proud coach of Dearness Johnson.
My man.
I'm Tim Murray. Scott's up next right here on VSiN.